Someone asked me, saying, Martin Sender, why don't you make a video telling people how to share the evangel with other people? I said, that's a good idea. And here's my first piece of advice. Take it from somebody who's been around the block a few times. Don't do it. That's right. Don't share the evangel with people. This is what I do. Let me explain. Now, yes, I share the evangel here on this format in the privacy of my car. This is the equivalent of pulling the pin. My whole operation here is the equivalent of pulling a pin on a hand grenade, throwing it in, rolling it into someone's living room, and then leaving the room, you see. I put my stuff on YouTube. I put my writings in books and let the chips fall where they may. I'm not right there, am I, to deal with the fallout. Not that I'm afraid of it. I'm going to explain all of this today and tomorrow on the nuts and bolts of evangelism. My first bit of advice is do not seek out an opportunity with other people. Now, this is specifically dealing with other people. I've encouraged many people to make a video, write something, but to share the evangel with someone one-on-one, what's the first thing you do is you avoid it. That's the very first thing you do. And I'm dead serious. You avoid it. This is what I do. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a very shy person and I'm an introvert. I didn't realize about that about myself till later in life. You know, somebody pointed that out to me. I said, I think you're right, actually. Because no one wants to become odious in another person's nostrils, do you? No, you don't want to be odious. You don't want to be the equivalent of Limburger cheese in somebody's nose. This is just what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. So I'm going to keep you from being a pain in the neck to other people. I'm going to keep you from being a Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to keep you from having people roll their eyes when you come at them, say, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? Or have you heard of the greatest news ever? Have you ever watched How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Yeah, it's a great salvation message in that movie, by the way. Who likes salesmen coming to your door? Who likes it when people put pamphlets on your car? If somebody puts a pamphlet on my car, one thing I know for sure, I'm not going to that place. That's one thing I know for sure because you've just invaded my privacy. I'm a very private person. I don't like to be invaded, my privacy, and I won't invade the privacy of other people. And that's the first wonderful thing you can do. People have a great opinion of you right away because you have not come at them offensively with your well message. And again, you've left them alone. People will love you if you leave them alone. You know, you're in their circle. You don't bother them. You're nice. You tell them how wonderful they dress, how you look nice today. Talk about the weather. Talk about the Miami Dolphins. Whatever you want to talk about. Now, if the topic comes up, this is a whole other thing. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you what to do when the topic comes up. Because boy, oh boy, I know what to do when the topic comes up. I will give you a formula. I will tell you exactly how to do it. My presentation of the evangel is a formula. There's nothing genius about it. Well, the only thing genius about it is I continue to maintain the mind of a child, even while I have these mature, awesome, mind-blowing, universe-changing teachings in my head. Yet, I maintain the simplicity of a child. That's the genius. But as far as presenting it, no, it's very simple. But it's simple once you know it. But if you don't know it, you're going to screw it up 10 different ways. I'm going to keep you from doing that tomorrow. Now, back when I took the Zender tour in 2007, I was in Florida here. That was at like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 11 years ago. As part of the Zender tour, I visited a guy on the east coast of Florida, quite a ways north of here. And this guy was borderline crazy. But he loved my books. I mean, he read each of my books like 20, 25 times. It was unbelievable. He had notes in my book. I mean, I was flattered about it. And his thing, this was his thing, is he would go out with my books in his backpack and he would cold call people. He would approach people in the street and say, have you heard of the good news? Have you read this book? This is a great book by this wonderful author. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how you do that, dude, but I'm happy that you do it. Good for you. And when I visited him, he was telling me all about his exploits and how he went to the homeless and how he was actually successful. People listened to him, and I thought, more power to you. Well, when I was down there, he said, Martin, I want to show you how I do it. Come with me. And I was the first thing, I was like, oh no, please don't make me go. But I went. And he said, you got to come out. You got to come out with me here. Just take your books. And I was like, oh Lord, please rescue me from this. But no, the Lord did not rescue me from this. But fortunately, whenever this guy talked to somebody, there was a tree nearby. In most cases, most of the time, there was a tree that I could hide behind. And he was a large guy, so many times I hid behind him. He would approach someone out of the blue and say, this guy here wrote this book and he wants you to read it. I would say, no, I don't. I really don't know. He wants you to read it. I don't want you to read it. You can read it if you want, but just do your own thing. You look like you were happy before we came. You look fairly content before we got here, you know, sitting in your cardboard box, eating cigarettes off the sidewalk. So don't let us bother you, please. That's my thing. I don't want to bother people. Maybe I'm projecting my sicko things on other people, but I just don't like to be... I don't like my space invaded, like by salespeople or someone coming up to me at the mall. You walk past a kiosk. Would you like to try this delicious scent from Indonesia? No, I wouldn't. But you can ask me once and I'll let you get away with it. If I say no and you keep coming at me, I will unravel. Who wants to be a Jehovah's Witness? You don't want to do that. So you'll instantly be a friend to all, to man and to woman. And I think this was you don't look for opportunities, but you take opportunities when they come. Oh, by the way, this guy in Florida, he couldn't believe it. He pulled me aside because I kept just hiding behind him, hiding behind trees, telling people, no, you don't want this book, you don't need it, don't worry about it, just go about your business. He pulled me aside and said, I don't believe you. You're Martin Zender. You're the boldest, most outspoken person I know in the evangel. I said, of course I am. If I'm confronted, yes. If I'm asked about my faith, yes. When I'm sitting behind a keyboard, yes. When I'm in front of a camera, yes. But dude, this is not my calling. And I don't think it's anybody's calling, actually. Although, you know, he made it work. I don't know if it was a divine freak thing, but he went out there and he gave my books out, and 9 times out of 10, they took it. I couldn't believe it. I was like slinking away. I literally said, can we go home now? I was sucking my thumb. I literally said, can we go home now, please? I can't take any more of this. He was shocked. I can't believe it. I said, dude, this is your calling. And I thank God you have it. I thank God that he's using you in this way. Not my calling. And so here's the first reason why we don't do this. Is we are not, and I'm not saying this was his reason. I'm not saying that. But this is why the Jehovah's Witnesses do it. This is why Christians make themselves pains in the corporate ass for just approaching people, because they are convinced that they have to badger you and get you in the heaven, because in their mind, this life is your one and only chance to receive Jesus in your life. Receive Jesus or go to hell for eternity. And once you die in this life, according to them, according to their wrong-headed, errant theories, when you die in this life, that's it. They don't see any times into the future where God is going to bring people to faith. Well, they don't know the truth of the salvation of all. They're under all these false notions, false notion about hell, false notion about free will, you have to decide, and that this is your one and only chance. So that makes them pains. It makes them need to go out. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, great example. They're going out because of guilt. They're guilt-ridden. They're obsessed with the idea that they are the ones that must bring people into the kingdom. Many of you have felt that pressure in the past. You were told that it's up to you to save the world. But I thought Jesus saved the world. No, it's up to you. Jesus did his part. It didn't work. Okay, you have to finish it. This is far different than proclaiming a complete evangel, than proclaiming the finished work of Christ. It's far different than that. When you are given an opportunity, what a difference. It then becomes a free-flowing thing of the Spirit instead of a guilt-driven thing of compulsion. You don't have to do it, you want to do it. You're not a fatalist because you know that God uses heralds in order to bring this message. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you how to do that. But in the meantime, we can rest, we can breathe. I mean, I've read places in so-called evangelical instruction booklets. They tell you how many people you should approach a day. You have to witness. Oh my God, that word. I got to witness. People can't even go, Christians can't even go to a restaurant and relax because they feel the need to witness. Witness to the serving person. Witness to the desk clerk, to the seating hostess. They have to witness, witness, witness. They can't get their muffler fixed without witnessing to the muffler guy.
Excuse me, muffler guy. Have you heard that Jesus might set you to hell? What if your muffler explodes on the way home? What will happen to your soul? You might meet God today. Are you ready?
Poor people. They're just under, and not only are they under a, I mean, be one thing if we were under a compulsion, we at least have good news to share.
Hey, muffler man. Guess what? Even if your muffler blows up today, even if your whole shop explodes from some terrible incident with propane, you are automatically saved because Jesus Christ died for you because you're a son of Adam. Therefore, you're a recipient of the grace of Christ.
Oh, that's... But we're not even under compulsion to give the good news. So you got to feel sorry for the witnessing, witnessing, witnessing Christians who are forced to hurry up, get out there, beat the bushes, find people. And whether they want it or not, shove this message down their throats. That turns off the world. That's the first thing I don't want you to do is turn off the world. Now you can breathe. Now you know that God's at peace with all these people. God's at peace. Listen to this. Romans 12. You knew I was going to get to a scripture eventually. Romans 12. It's about, you do not come to pass for, yet to no one, yet. Being at peace with all humanity. Romans 12, 18. Being at peace with all humanity. This is the number one point of evangelism. Be at peace with all humanity. And when you're at peace, you will be surprised how many people will come to you. God will bring these people to you. You don't even have to look for an opportunity. The opportunity will be there. I think when Paul was in Athens on Mars Hill, he probably wanted to go there and tour. It's probably a great place to look at statuary and things like that. And he was observing all the plaques to the unknown God. And he probably exclaimed to Luke, who was his companion, look at this. They even have a statue dedicated to the unknown God. And somebody might have overheard Paul say that to Luke and said to Paul, hey, we're having a little convocation outside here on the back porch with a couple hundred people. Would you like to speak? That's how I first got roped into my first talk back in June of 94. Oh my God, that was one of the scariest things I've ever done. I went to a conference not planning on talking, and the guy who was running the conference, Ted McDivitt, came up to me and said, I have a spot open tomorrow at 2. Would you like to take it? I'm like, ah, it was a nightmare for me. But I took it, and nobody's been able to shut me up ever since.